The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation. You can post for me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't want to choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money moves. Hey ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We know you missed us. We missed you too. It's been a while, but hopefully we will give you everything that you are looking for. Welcome back to the Gridiron Gals podcast. Of course, I am Rita, the NFL chick.
And hey, everybody, this is Chelsea, a.k.a. Chelsea's Right.
And we're sorry we've been gone so long, but you know, football goes down, we go down a little bit, and we chill out, we enjoy our summer, and then just like that, football stories are back. All,
yeah,
we
catch up on our Netflix and all our good shows and everything, and Now we're back. Training camp is back, and we are back.
Exactly. So we have a ton of stuff to talk about. We won't keep you too long, but we definitely have some NFL stories as well as some college football stories. But let's jump straight to the NFL. Your Cowboys, Chels, they've had an interesting offseason. Ezekiel Elliott, once again in the news, had an altercation protecting a female companion, it appeared. And he allegedly broke the DJ's nose. So now we're talking about suspensions. Also, just recently, Lucky Whitehead, he's probably the unluckiest person that we've known in the past. So he had a dog held for ransom, which some dummy went on social media and said, hey, pay this money and you'll get this dog back. And then he got a mistaken identity of sorts, allegedly for shoplifting somewhere. And shortly thereafter, the Cowboys gave him his walking papers. So, you know, how are you feeling going into this? As far as Ezekiel Elliott, you can give your thoughts, but I'm more so concerned about your thoughts about this Whitehead situation. I think the Ezekiel Elliott thing will kind of play itself out. I don't think a suspension will happen because the charges have been dropped. But with the Whitehead situation, I'm just curious to know your take on it because you're seeing people saying, well, he wasn't going to make the team anyway. So, you know, does that give them merit for dropping him the way that they did based on those circumstances?
So, I think that, well, just touching on the Ezekiel situation a little bit, not only was it the bar incident that he's looking at, but it's the supposed domestic violence, which we all know, we've seen the text messages from that other young lady that he did not do anything, and this was a setup. So that's what he was really looking at a suspension for. But then with the bar situation, I don't even know if Ezekiel was actually the one who threw the punch. But anyway, I think it will work out. Something tells me that he may get at least – one game, and I don't know how they're even going to justify that, but let's go right to Lucky. Lucky, the situation with Lucky is very tricky for me because Lucky has done some things in the past that have warranted him to get on the bench. So last year he missed a game because he was up on Snapchat at 3 a.m. with some young lady, and he missed a meeting. So they sat him down for one of the games. And then I think there are some other things that have happened that they haven't really talked about. But Lucky just seems to be very immature and always getting himself into situations that show that he's not really putting football first. And, you know, the Cowboys do not like when people don't put football first. The situation with the dog was also a little suspect because the person who allegedly took his dog says, you know that I didn't steal your dog. You know that you owed me money. And it was just very, very suspect. I'm glad, you know, Reed and Chels love the dogs. I'm glad he got his dog back. But again, that was another situation that brought some attention to the Cowboys that they really don't like, especially when things happen like you have some strange rapper from Dallas mentioning Jerry Jones in a video. That is not going to fly. Now you have a bench warrant that has been issued for failure to appear in court to Lucky, and Lucky was, you know, claiming his innocence the entire time. His agent said Lucky wasn't there. He's innocent. I was hearing that he was innocent, and then it wasn't until the end that I was hearing that he actually wasn't there. But the Cowboys were just done at that point. I don't think Jason Garrett believed him when he said, I didn't do this. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. In a matter of hours after he was cut, the Prince William County Police Department, which is in our area, in the Northern Virginia area, said that, oops, this wasn't him. Someone had his social security number, and sorry, this wasn't you, blah, blah, blah. And here we are, and he's already been cut by the Cowboys. So typically when teams cut you, even if it's cut you and just say, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to cut you. The thing is that Lucky was going to probably lose his spot anyway. Ryan Switzer got drafted, everybody kind of was like, bye, Lucky. So now that's where we are. Everyone's saying, oh, he was going to get cut. Oh, he was going to get cut anyway. It's no big deal. Lucky did all of these things anyway. So this one time that he isn't guilty, it's not a big deal. Actually, it kind of is a big deal. So if he was going to get cut anyway, he was planning on, he was supposed to come to training camp. They were going to let him get a chance to prove himself and fight for his position. If you were going to cut him, go ahead and cut him. But don't cut him, and it was a mistake, and now you're like, uh-oh. You know, I just don't like that idea. Mistaken identity for a celebrity or semi-celebrity, whatever you want to call them, is a little different. Like if one of us would have been in jail trying to prove our innocence. So it's really not fair, and it really is unsettling to see people make such light of this situation when there are regular non-celebrity, everyday young black men that are in jail for months and months and months for something that they didn't do. And I don't want to tangent, but it kind of ties in. Like, guys, it's kind of just not cool, you know? So the Jets picked him up off of waivers. Situation for Lucky, this might actually have been the best case scenario for Lucky because he was going to get cut by the Cowboys most likely. They are in love with Ryan Switzer. And you know how the NFL loves a fast little white boy. So they were in love with Ryan Switzer, and he was not going to have, I don't think he was going to make the team. So this was going to come anyway. And let's see what he does with the Jets. I mean,
I think that, you know, if you were going to let him go because of those other things in terms of being late for meetings and such, then you got to let him go. But it does look very unfair when you don't allow an investigation to continue. Now, the Cowboys have the opportunity to do whatever it is that they want to do, but it just, you would have liked for them to have waited. And if you had no intentions on keeping that young man, then you probably should have let that young man go anyway, so he could have had an opportunity to find another team, which didn't have an issue. He did find another team. There were a few other teams that were listed on the waiver list for him. So, I mean, it appears that people had him on their radar, at least just to be on training camp purposes. But, yeah, I mean, right. I just think that, you know, it just from the surface of it, before people really got the logistics, it did kind of seem like it was wrong. And, you know, if I'm Lucky Whitehead, even though I did get picked up from someone else, I'm probably still going to go after the police department because that's someone's livelihood that you're potentially messing with. And to have no consequences from that.
Yeah, and then for them to, you know, we understand, you know, but they've shut it down. Like, the Cowboys are like, okay, we moved on, you know. So I know it was something that was on the books for them anyway. I know that they were going to cut Lucky anyway, but, you know, at least if you are going to move on, at least say something else besides this. And, you know, obviously, just from talking to people that I know that have, like, the inside track or what have you, you know, it seems like they had it up to the rim with Lucky anyway. And, you know, but another thing, though, Rita, is, like, these guys are super young, super immature, and we bring them into the NFL, and we're like, now be a responsible adult. At 22?
Right.
Oh, Lord. Do you remember being 22?
Well, I was engaged at 22, so I thought I was an adult, but
you thought
I didn't know what the hell I was getting myself into. So there.
See, my 22-year-old self, I would slap her. What is your problem?
I would slap 22-year-old Rita. So yeah, me and you are on the same page.
Yeah. You know, but we have such high expectations, and we don't. I don't think that they do a good job transitioning them into the NFL, and even, you know, even kids who come from quote unquote good, you know, stable backgrounds, you know, they're still young.
I agree. And that goes to, really young. Well, you know, at the end of the day, they got to learn how to be a little bit more mature. And yes, they do go through growing pains like regular people, but unfortunately they're doing it with a lot of money and on a bright, bright stage. And so, you know, I just think that teams have to do a little bit better in helping these guys become a little more mature adults that can make some better decisions. So we'll see what happens with Zeke in terms of the suspension thing. I personally think he'll appeal whatever it is and probably win. And then we'll see what happens with Lucky and his new team, which is he continues to be unlucky, if you ask me, because his ass is at the Jets. So there's that. Speaking of more news, now let's get to some Ravens news. My quarterback. You keep hearing different things. Local reporters are saying they're just doing a week as a precaution, but then they're saying that the injury could potentially go from 3 to 6 weeks. So no one knows, basically, because back injuries are like that. You can be a week out and then they turn around and be, hey, 6 months. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes.
Girl, don't tell me about back injuries.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, back injuries are like that. They don't have real timetables. So people don't know what the hell it is. Let's just say that, because we're hearing different things from different sources. And so far they have Ryan Mallett, who's been on the team since 2015, and then some other dude that I forgot his name that fast, and I'm not going to Google it because he ain't going to be here after the training camp anyway. So the rumors have been circulating, and Harbaugh even said himself today, he came out without question, said that they were interested in Kaepernick potentially, which to me, if Flacco was only going to be out as a precautionary for a week, you being interested in another quarterback to me says something that there's something more that you're not potentially telling us. But what is your thoughts on Kaepernick finally, possibly getting back into the NFL?
I think that if he is going to have a chance to get into the NFL while in this season, like before the season starts, I think the Ravens way is the best way and the most likely way. He already has ties to the Harbaughs, so they know him well. All it takes is big brother or little brother. I don't know which one comes first to put in a good word, but it just makes the most sense. I mean, as soon as people heard that Flacco was going to be out, and the first thing I heard was 6 weeks, and I'm like, what in the world's happening to him? But as soon as we heard that, the first name that started flying around sports media, which now I'm starting to see more sports media people are going from, oh, maybe he's, you know, capping, you know, oh, he's getting a fair shot, to, gosh, guys, he really isn't getting a fair shot out here. Now they're starting to be woke. His name goes out there anytime they hear something, you know. So I think it'll be great. And look, I'm more than ready to try to go 45 miles up the road to see Cap play up there.
Yeah, you know, Harbs also said that he has been talking to Kaepernick on and off, and I'm sure a lot of that has to do with his relationship with Harbaugh, the younger Harbaugh, who was his former coach, that eventually they went to the Super Bowl against the Ravens. So I'm sure they have some type of relationship, and he said that they have been communicating on and off. Ironically, I do agree that this probably is the best situation for him because they already have a relationship. I'd like to believe, and I'm hoping that I'm not naive here, but I would like to believe that the owner, Steve Bisciotti, is a little bit more liberal and understanding when it comes to situations like this, although he may not agree. I'm not saying, because I don't know what side he's on this line, but I'm hoping that he's a little bit more progressive in saying, I might not agree with how he did it, but I understand the message in which he was trying to portray. Also, Kaepernick has donated money to a youth program here in Baltimore. So this city was one of the cities that he chose for that $1 million challenge that he gave, in which he said he was going to, you know, put $100,000, I believe, to 10 different organizations. So I do think that this would be perfect. I think, you know, this is a town, obviously, where the majority of the people here, 60%, and maybe more, it could be more of that, are Black people. So you have people that the people that he's fighting for are the people that live in this city. And so I have only seen nothing but positive responses. And that even comes from fellow white Ravens fans. They've been receptive to it. We know that Ryan Mallett is, you know, he is what he is. Yes, he beat the Steelers back in 2015. But for real, I mean, he had only been on the team for like 2 weeks. They ain't really know what the hell they was going to get from him. So it was what it was. I don't trust Mallett. I think that Kaepernick is a much better talent, and he can lead an offense much better than Mallett would. So if the Ravens are interested in potentially being playoff contenders and Flacco is out for a long period of time, I think you do have to go with Kaepernick. He's the only choice that you have to be competitive and win football games.
Absolutely. And the Ravens fans want to win games. They want to win games. And I just think it – huh?
We ain't been in the playoffs in 2 years. We tied.
Yeah, yeah, y'all try to win games. They don't care how it happens. So, and I think that it would be good for Kaepernick to be there for the spirit of Baltimore. Baltimore and the people of Baltimore know firsthand the effects of police brutality. And I think he would be awesome for the youth that are there, those kids that are right around that stadium. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a good look, and it would definitely please my soul to know that Cap will go into the season in a uniform, even if he only plays one game, or, you know, as long as he's there. And I think that's where he should be. He's deserving at least a backup spot in the NFL. And it is just ridiculous that no one has been considering him. And we've seen people that can throw a football no better than I can, getting millions of dollars and putting that ski mask on, ski mask all-stars. I'm like, God, you guys are just robbing folks blind. So I'm happy for him. I hope it works out.
You knew that the shit was bad when you had Dan Orlovsky getting a job over Colin Kaepernick getting a job.
Man.
And the excuses that people want to continue to have are running dry. At this point, you just got to say, well, I don't want him because they don't want him because he's they're not progressive enough. They, meaning these owners, are not progressive enough to understand the oppression of which he's fighting against. So, you know, if you're still arguing this shit at this point about him not being good, well, guess what? Dan Orlovsky fucking walked his ass out of his own end zone. And I'm talking about like 3 feet out. Play. It wasn't even like some tippy toes. He was so far out. He was going to be on the other side of the fucking white line. Please don't give me that. I don't want to hear that shit no more. I'm fed up with these excuses. They're lame. They're tired. And that man needs a job. And if he wants a backup job, I think that this would be a place. And maybe it could reverse this curse that the Ravens have, because it seems like for the past 3 seasons, they've been the top 3 teams on injured reserve. So maybe, like, if they bring him in, it reverses whatever, like, fake-ass base god curse that they got going on. Because I don't know what's going on.
Girl, what is your problem?
I'm telling you, something's going on, man. Something's going on. So maybe he can bring some good mojo back here. Maybe, like, we can realign the stars in the NFL universe or something, because we can't stay healthy for shit. I feel like we're the Chargers now or something. I don't know what's going on.
But, you know, I don't. You said that that someone said that the owners are not keeping up with the times and not as aware of what's going on with police brutality and things like that. To give them a pass on that, because Black people have been fighting against police brutality for a good 80 years here now. Ever since we were no longer enslaved and the police came into effect, they've been fighting. And what percentage of the NFL consists of Black men? So if you don't know, it's because you don't want to know, but you need to know, because one day your starting wide receiver is going to get his butt beat by a cop, because he's going to be in a city, and you know NFL players don't, you know, they wear helmets, you know, so unless you are a marquee player, they really may not know who you are. And somebody's going to get beat down in another city, and all these owners are going to have their asses on their backs, wondering what's going on.
Yep. Unfortunately, that might be.
So if you don't know, you better know. You better call Cap and invite him to the owners meeting then, if you don't know.
that might be what it takes, unfortunately, like for it to be someone that of their own player, and then, you know, something happens to them unjustly, and then they feel like they need to defend that person to get it, because then they hit a little bit more. It's unfortunate, but, you know, here we are. He still doesn't have a job. All right, moving on. So Teddy Bridgewater. We love Teddy P, you and I. We've been a big advocate for him. We've wanted him to do well, and he has done well since he's been in the league. But last year, of course, he essentially blew up his whole knee. His whole knee just kind of disintegrated on him, unfortunately, and he was out for the season. He is currently starting the season on PUP, and that is physically unable to perform, for those who don't know. So he is starting the training camp on the PUP list. It doesn't look too good in terms of when his turnaround time is. They really don't know. So earlier today, you tweeted that he essentially isn't going to play football anymore. I don't remember the exact verbatim, but that was basically what you said, and it hurt me a little bit. So, you know, do you really believe that we have seen the last of Teddy Bridgewater?
That we have seen the last of Teddy Bridgewater.
No, Mom, no.
I know. I don't like it. So I don't, you know, I will spare the gory details, but that was probably one of the worst knee injuries that I have heard of in all of my days. And I remember someone saying today that the knee injury was so bad that other players were vomiting when they saw it happen. Mm-hmm. It was a nasty injury. And, you know, you typically, when we talk about a knee injury, we talk about a player coming back in the next season, because it happened in preseason last year, or maybe in training camp. I can't remember, but they talked about him maybe in a year being back. And halfway through that, they talked about another year recovery. So, that was a really bad knee injury. Like, Rita, if you or I would have gotten that knee injury, they probably would have just cut our leg off.
Yeah.
That would have been a wrap. So I would say that, today Teddy said that he is still working on himself. And he said, I'm working on my body from head to toe. Okay. I'm working on healing myself from head to toe. That tells me something different. That tells me that you are trying to come to terms with the fact that your body has failed you. Just like so many NFL players say, their bodies have failed them. You know, their body just can't do anymore. And he, when he said head to toe, I was like, oh, he's trying to get his mind right so he could come to grips with the fact that he may not be playing ball again. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope that he comes back with flying colors, and it won't be this year, but I hope he's able to come back with flying colors, but it just does not look likely to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I just don't think he'll play preseason at all, and he'll probably go into the NFL season starting on the bench. And I think that it is a risk for the Vikings that they're not going to be willing to take. So, you know, I do think that this is the last we've seen him. Now, I don't know if this means this is the last we've seen of him as a Viking or the last we've seen of him as an NFL player, period. I mean, I feel like, you know, if he feels like at some point if his knee is healthy, he'll try to get an opportunity to play elsewhere. But, you know, we won't know that until we see how this unfolds. I really want him to do what's best for him. And if he is not going to be the situation, if that's not going to hold him down, then, you know, just let it go. But if you feel like that there's an opportunity to get back into the game, then rehab, do what you got to do. Take your time, because that's a huge injury. We've seen people like Dante Culpepper go through injury, and this was probably worse, but I'm just using that as an example where Dante Culpepper had all these injuries to his knee, and he was never the same again. He went to Miami, and he wasn't good. And it came right around the time we were supposed to get a whole lot of money. So you don't want to see Teddy Bridgewater do this in his career the same way that Dante Culpepper did. That was hard to watch. Like, because I believe Culpepper went to Oakland as well, correct? Am I tripping? But either way, like, he fell off so far from when he left Minnesota. Ironically, the same place.
Well, it makes you shell-shocked when you get a bad injury like that. That's the biggest thing. It's not, well, I think it is, you know, ability, but then it makes you shell-shocked so you don't put your body in situations that you typically would not be thinking of. And I'm telling you, I would be super shell-shocked. Shell-shocked. Ugh, couldn't say it. So, you know, And he has so many people talking so much shit against him. That's what pisses me off about the whole situation. Because I really wanted him to prove everybody wrong. And he was doing a good job. He was doing a good job doing that.
He was. I agree. We wish Teddy B the best. We don't want him to make any drastic decisions. And we just hope that he comes out on top, whatever he chooses to do. There's some more injury news that we've come to. And that's the new CTE study that came out. And basically, they did 111 brain scans, 110 of them. So then only one did not come back showing evidence of CTE, the brain disorder that people believe is linked to NFL play. The Ravens had another hit today. In addition to Flacco, they had their center. He was competing for the center job. John Urschel, who's a very, very smart man, probably more smart of a man than he is good as a football player, just randomly decided he wanted to retire today. The coaching staff said that they were completely caught off guard. They wished him well, but pretty much CTE had a lot to do with that. And I believe that study just came out yesterday. So he said that this was something that he had been thinking about for a while. He is going to get his doctorate degree at MIT. And I think that he feels as though he wants to preserve his brain while he can, because he sees the effects of the CTE. Do you think that we're going to start seeing a decline of players or just people in general that will still want to pursue the NFL. Remember, they probably have the lowest wages of all the major four, and they have the weakest players association of all four. Now you have this CTE study that came out and essentially said everybody had it but one. Do you think that the NFL is in trouble here with people continuing wanting to play football?
I'm always leery about whether or not I want to say the NFL is in trouble, because the NFL is like the Death Star. They always end up coming out on top in some way. But let me say this. Last year, we had more than a handful of players retire or just say, you know, Jesus, it was health reasons, and not just their brain, it was their bodies. This study is not shocking to me, just because this is my area of expertise. I'm a speech language pathologist for people who don't know, but it makes me think, what does the brain of that one person who didn't have it? What else is going on with them? I think everybody. I think the numbers are that's a very accurate number. 110 out of 111 is very accurate. And also, you know what else is happening though, Rita? These players are now seeing the other players who are coming forward and saying, man, I can't remember a thing. Warren Sapp just came forward and said he can't remember, that he has to write down everything, all of his appointments, everything that's going on. He can't remember. Warren Sapp, I don't even know if he's 45, 45, 46. That is way too young. Cognitive ability to remember your appointments.
I think you're giving Sapp way too many years. I don't think he's that old. I think he's probably...
You don't think he's that old? Well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I don't even think he's 45. So, you know, that's too young to not be able to remember. And I think that these young guys were looking and thinking that it was something that was going to happen when they were in their 70s. And you know how young folks are. Oh, by the time I'm 70, it won't matter. Surprise. It's going to happen a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, he will be 45 in December. He's 45.
He will be 45. Yeah, so that's young, you know, and I think it's important that he came out, and it's important that he said, I'm donating my brain. O.J. Simpson, I do think O.J. Simpson is a sociopath all on his own, but I definitely think that if we looked at his brain, that big old head, I bet you there are lots of incidents of evidence of CTE. So I think it is going to be a decline, but you know what it's going to be a decline in? The players who aren't making as much money.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. And we're not even getting into the college players, because if you are getting CTE from here, who's to say that these college guys who aren't getting paid, and you know how we feel about that on this podcast, are getting paid. Mm-hmm. And so you're absolutely right. The ones that aren't the Antonio Browns or the Tom Brady's of the world, or the JJ Watts of the world, like, how does this affect them? And so my thing is that, you know, I think all these guys that come into the league believe that they can be the next big thing. Of course, we know that that's not possible, but that's what most believe. And so I just wonder, even if you're a parent and you see that your child is pretty good at football, but maybe your child is also good at baseball, or maybe your child is also good at basketball, do you start saying, hey, maybe you should like play that a little bit more, because these studies are coming out and they're saying that there's a huge chance your child could end up having CTE. And a lot of that stuff starts at a very early age, when we have these kids playing at a very early age.
Absolutely. And what you said about college, let me tell you something. Those brains, those 110 brains, those brains didn't get their first instance of CTE, of a concussion in the NFL. That came in college and high school, and there's literature to support that. There, people have already done research on the number of concussions that high school students get, and also who determines whether or not a high school player goes back into the game. And most of the time, it's the coach that determines whether or not they go back into the game, who is not a trained professional.
Yep.
So it needs to start down in high school. Like you have a son that played. I have cousins and things like that and played. One of my cousins played for JMU. He's not, you know, he wasn't a standout athlete or any. Well, he was a star running back, but he didn't go to the NFL or anything. But he had two major concussions, mm-hmm. and he told me he had no interest. He said, "I don't care anything about the NFL. I need to be able to think." He had two major concussions where he was vomiting for weeks after, and nobody paid him anything. Mm-hmm. No one paid him anything.
A dime.
Not a dime. He's had two surgeries on his foot.
Yep.
No one paid him anything. So they have to do something about it. I mean, these guys are scrambling their brains, and these kids are scrambling their brains. Remember the guy, Chris Henry, that the one that played for the Bengals. His mother said that he had several concussions in high school.
And remember, if you don't remember Chris Henry, he was the player that I believe he fell off the back of a truck and he ended up dying. And he had a lot of troubles. He had a lot of legal run-ins while he played for the Bengals, just to give you guys an update on who that
is. And if I'm not mistaken, his mother did donate his brain as well.
And I'm sure that they probably came across that. I mean, so it's hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm glad my son didn't pursue football further. And, you know, we talk about this a lot, my friends and I. I'm just really glad that he chose to, you know, go a different direction, because I think now that all this stuff is coming out, it's scary. And as a parent, you're scared. And it's like, yeah, money is good. Don't get me wrong. Having money is great. But, you know, we see a lot of these players, how they lose a lot of money. And so when you know, is it worth it? You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. Is it worth your child not being able to do things and remember things at a very early age, early 40s, late 30s. And
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even imagine. So I'm curious to see how this goes. I mean, as viewers, we're absolutely still going to watch. I just wonder if parents are going to start feeling a different way about this whole thing, if their kids are playing it, and get them playing into multiple sports again. Okay, let's take some switches, because we got college football coming. And if you didn't know, college football will be here in 5 weeks from today. 5 weeks from today, we start these games. I am ready. My body is ready.
Yeah, baby. I'm ready to totally dedicate my Saturdays to being, you know, I got a new sofa coming, Rita. Oh, I can't wait to break it in watching college football. I cannot wait.
Yes. So I'm ready for college football. And so that's getting back up too. And basically, let's start with Hugh Freeze, the former Ole Miss coach, because he is no longer there. Because would you like to tell the story, Chels? I mean, I can tell it. Maybe you can tell.
Hugh Freeze got fired because he at work being nasty. Nasty, nasty, nasty. Hugh Freeze is using his good work cell phone to contact nasty women on Backpage and got caught. Nasty, nasty, nasty. So he'll have no job. I couldn't believe it. I cannot believe on your work cell phone.
Yep. On your work. But see, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. I don't even think that it's for him. I think that that's for the kids, the recruits or whatever. Because they said it was multiples and it could be for him. I don't want to like say that it's not for him to ease anything up off of, because honestly, if it's for the kids, it's worse. But I think it's for the kids. I think it's for his players. Honestly, I think it's like similar to the whole, Louisville situation, right? With Patino. Mm. It's like, you know, I'm not going, you know, in Patino's case, he claims he doesn't know anything, but basically they did the same thing. They got all these call girls and all this other stuff to be down and to come and to go to the university and to deal with these guys. And I just think that they do the same thing with Ole Miss, except for it was away in another state. Either way, it's hilarious to me, because you dumb as shit if you don't do this on a burner phone. Like, what part of doing it on your company phone was a good idea to you? I just don't know why you thought that you were that invincible that you could do that. Now, you know who could do that? Nick Saban could do that shit, because Nick Saban has won national championships. He continues to have the top recruit. Nick Saban wins games. Hugh Freeze's career, basically, you beat Alabama twice, and you still ain't been to no SEC championship, and you still ain't been to no, you still ain't done nothing. You haven't done anything. So it's easy to let somebody like Hugh Freeze go off or something like that, because you really haven't done shit. They ain't let Nick Saban go off of no shit like that. Nick Saban could probably just bust his whole team to a brothel, and it could be on TV live, and he probably still wouldn't lose his job. Hugh Freeze ain't Nick Saban. He ain't.
He's not Nick Saban. And man, if that would happen to Nick Saban, they would have proved that the whole thing was a false. They would have took down Backpage and everything. It would have never gone down like that. But Hugh Freeze is just nasty. You know, I'm always entertained when something happens to Ole Miss. So good. Good. But yeah, you ain't got the reach, Hugh Freeze. You ain't got the reach. You ain't got the reach. So you now you get to be nasty for the next, what, I think he can't do anything for about a couple of years, and he'll probably end up getting, he'll be an assistant somewhere, and then he'll weasel his way on back to the top. Happens.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's like a bad offense to the point. This is not Art Briles here, right? And I'm not trying to
compare. Oh, Lord Jesus, no.
I'm not trying to compare. I'm just trying to say the severity of this is not of the Art Briles or the Joe Paterno family, right? It's not something that you, like, can't come from. You know what I mean? Like, you hiring hookers on Backpage or whatever site, that whatever you were calling, is in the Bible Belt, I'm sure. It's forsaken or whatever, but it's not... you're not breaking the, well, you are kind of breaking the law. So, but it's consensual. You get my point. Right. This is consensual.
Yeah. I think it's a, I can't remember what the real offense is, but it's almost like a moral thing, you know, yeah. And especially from Hugh Freeze, who is always quoting like the Bible verses and everything. But see, we already know, those are the ones you need to watch anyway. So, yeah. The ones that doth protest too much. Exactly. So,
Because I think he has interviewed since he has done an interview since he got let go. And I'm sorry, y'all, my dogs, they just love to freaking do shit while I'm doing shit, because that's who they are. They're children and they get on my nerves. Hugh Freeze has done an interview since he got fired. And I think he started it off with a Bible scripture. And I was like, this is where we're going with this? Like, we're still doing this, Hugh Freeze? Like, really? And look, I get it, right? You got to stick to the script. So I understand why he did what he did. But, sir, you was calling hookers, bro. I mean, you could have ended the interview with a scripture. Mm-hmm. Don't start the interview.
Exactly. Don't start it. And God saw you send that text, you nasty. God saw you send that text to that nasty lady.
To do nasty things.
Oh, he is so disgusting. Oh, my gosh.
And here you go. So, yeah, Hugh Freeze will get another job, I'm sure, maybe sometime next year. But, yeah, for now, bye, sir. And next time, be smart and buy a burner phone, you dumbass. Sick of y'all.
Yeah.
Lines. Y'all some stupid ass, I swear. All right. Let's get into something a little bit more serious. So, Michael Vick, which... he's been in the headlines recently, and not for good things, but we're not going to talk about those.
For being a head ass.
Yeah, he was a head ass, and he tried to backtrack what he said about Colin Kaepernick's hair, which that's not what this is about, but he did say something stupid. However, Michael Vick will be inducted into the Virginia Tech Hall of Fame, and I believe there has been a petition to keep him out, and so far, it has been at least 90,000 signatures. And so, I'm going to go ahead and guess that these are white people. Because, you know, white people love their animals. And they still have not forgiven a man who has done his time, respectively, to move forward from that. So, I just want to know your take on this. I mean, should we not let a guy... not let this guy come into the Hall of Fame simply because of something he's done off the field, which, by the way, this did not happen while he played at Virginia Tech. He was already in the NFL, well into the NFL his career when this happened. Or do you think that we should hold these types of things against players?
How many people signed that signature?
90,000 people.
So that's 90,000 people who don't know shit. So this is what pisses me off. You guys are going to make me have to defend Mike Vick after I already called him a head ass for what he did on the Buffalo Butt show a few weeks ago talking about Cap. And you know we don't play him talking about Cap. But here we are back again. Mike Vick is supposed to go into Virginia Tech Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, people are mad that he was fighting dogs. Mike Vick is the best player that Virginia Tech University has ever seen. Somebody said Bruce Smith, whatever. Mike Vick is the best football player that has come from Virginia Tech. He went to jail for 18 months for something that he did years after he left Virginia Tech. Yes, he was fighting dogs. Yes, it was also illegal gambling across state lines, which is really what tagged it on him. So no matter if he was fighting dogs or chickens, see, you see your dogs and your dogs start backpacking in the background.
He wanted us to know he's uncomfortable with this.
Django's like, look, Django, like, don't now, you know. So,
right.
And I don't like it. Rita and I are both dog lovers, okay? And she actually has pit bulls, you know. And
right.
we are both dog lovers, and I thought I read the entire docket. I read all of the evidence from that, and I was sick to my stomach. But he did his time. He came back. He atoned. He was working with the Humane Society. He did everything he was supposed to do to rectify the situation. So when you guys are still protesting and signs up and you got a petition going around because you don't want him to go in the Hall of Fame, that tells me that you are choosing who you feel should be forgiven and who you feel should live as a pariah for the rest of their life. And I'm sorry, but it seems like we have a little bit of a harder time forgiving Black folks.
Of course. Of course. Look, we talked about this earlier. People will never forgive Michael Vick for what he's done, and he's done his time. And while OJ got away with murder, I mean, you know, he did not get convicted of double murder. He did a bid for something that most people would probably get 18 months, if that. And he's done what, 9 years. So I'm not saying that OJ's done his time for double murder by any means, but what I am saying is that the justice system thought that they could get him back for something that he was acquitted of, because he did not go to jail, whether you believe he should have or not, for those crimes. And we're never going to hear the end of OJ. We're never going to hear the end of Michael Vick. But I'm always compelled to believe that it's different if it's someone else. We talked about this before we did the podcast, and I brought up Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb was a very famous pitcher for Major League Baseball. He was a Cy Young Award winner. He is a Hall of Famer. Ty Cobb was accused of murdering somebody. Like, Google Ty Cobb murder. And I don't hear anybody ever saying, we don't want Ty Cobb in the Hall of Fame. He's a murderer. He's an alleged murderer. I don't hear anybody saying that. And yes, granted, it's super long ago. It was probably our grandparents, potentially great-grandparents' time, but that's besides the point. The point is that unless someone tells you about Ty Cobb, you wouldn't know anything about that, because they buried it so deep that it's a non-factor. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to play those rules that people who commit crimes shouldn't be in Hall of Fame, well, shit, we got a lot of slate cleaning to do, a whole lot of slate cleaning to do. And that includes white people, too, because we got a lot of white people that was out here committing crimes, and they in the Hall of Fame as well, particularly in the older days when there were really no penalties because there was no real media. So right. I just want people, if you're going to be a hypocrite, I just want you to at least own your hypocrisy. Say I'm a hypocrite. Yeah, I don't really care that much for Black people, so I'm extra hard on them. I can at least respect you for being honest. But what I'm not going to stand for is you saying, oh, you know, it'll be either way for me. And then you real quiet when it comes to other people that's doing stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, miss me with that bullshit, man. Just say you don't like Black people. Man, we used to it by now.
And O.J. Simpson and Michael Vick did the worst two things that you could ever do to white people. Kill a white woman and kill dogs.
Yep.
That's the worst two things. That's the top two right there. So they ain't never. Now look, OJ, I'm a little bit different on OJ, because, you know, at first, you know, I was one of those people as a teenager who, and there was a lot of reasons why. But let me tell you, OJ might have killed some more people, Rita. He might, OJ might got bodies, because I think that he is shown enough out of his mind. And fair is fair. And this last go round, OJ got the shaft. Even the amount of years that he got. But that whole situation was a setup. And OJ walked right into it, because he is such a narcissist. Yep. He can't see anything other than himself. He has no self-awareness. And he walks slam into that. And I agree with him being paroled. Now, I also think that OJ is going to do something to get his stupid tail right back up in that jail. And you know what? I might feel a little bit safer if OJ is the fuck off of Earth. Because that dude got a real problem. But you're right. The people pick and choose who gets what punishment, who we want to forgive, who gets away with this. Who has created more moral and legal atrocities than the person that is currently supposed to be running our country?
Yep.
Who has created more? And I was like, oh, you know, a Black man with three baby mamas would never have been elected president.
Oh, or a Black man that would have said on anybody's recording about, you know, grabbing people's pussies and whatnot.
Grabbing the pussy. So, you know.
In the United States. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Mike Vick has done a good job. Look, Virginia Tech ain't paying attention to them, those petitions. I can tell you that right now. They're not paying attention to it. Those Virginia Tech alumni are not paying attention to it. Most of my friends who went to Virginia Tech or went to Radford that are right there along with Virginia Tech, they were there during the Michael Vick era. They know what he brought to the university. These are people who have probably never even watched one game.
Yep.
And they have so much to say. I'm so tired of white folks being mad about everything. Please go sit down somewhere. Please go sit down somewhere. You know, I love the dogs too. I swear I love dogs. I don't even watch a movie. They got dogs in it because I'm scared the dog's going to die. But please, these are people.
Exactly.
These are people. That man has made, he has made amends with everything he's done. Dog fighting is a very big part of a lot of Southern cultures.
And if you don't believe us, look at Real Sports. They did a document. They did a segment about it some years ago, and it was all white people. So, I mean, come on now. Let's not do that here, okay? Because It is not just an urban thing. It is very much so a Southern thing, and it is very much so run by non-people of color. So let's be clear on that. Sit your ass.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. They fight dogs too. Yeah, it's a southern you know, area culture thing. And but you know what Mike Vick's problem is? See, Mike Vick ain't smart, and we already know Mike Vick ain't smart. Yep. Head ass Mike Vick, because a non-smart. You know, you want to fight dogs, you fight dogs, and you make it discreet, right? Right? No, he wants to have an entire bad news kennel and draw all this attention. So that's where, you know, Michael Vick is stupid. Yeah, we already know that. Yeah. But look, the man that said sorry 1,000 ways, the Humane Society of the United States of America said, Michael Vick, you cool with us. You working with us. You cool with us. Man, y'all need to sit down somewhere.
I agree. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. He has done his time. He has been sorry about it. Let him go on and get inducted with no problems and go fight some real shit. That's how he acted in a goddamn fool. Anyway, we have come to an end, but we want to say that before we go, we will be attending the Advocare Classic on September the 2nd, which is with Michigan Wolverines against my Florida Gators, Chels and I. So we are taking over the city of Dallas from September the 1st to September the 4th, which is Labor Day weekend and college kickoff weekend. And I'm excited. Like, I mean, I'm glad that you're going to be there with me, because I don't want to go to jail. I need somebody to kind of, like, you know, keep me in check. But I'm excited.
It's the auntie takeover. You know, y'all know I don't care about no Florida. I'm just there to see Michigan beat them. That's pretty much
all the shade.
I'm just there for all of the entertainment. But yes, we are taking over Dallas September 1st through the 4th. If Dallas fans out there, Dallas listeners, Dallas Twitter, y'all let us know where the party at.
Yes. We want to go to all the tailgates, all the festivities,
the day parties.
All the day parties. This is my second college game, I believe. Chels, this is your first one?
This is my second one. This will be my second one.
Okay, so, you know, we'll document our experience. It'll be fun. We didn't go together, obviously, so we'll be together this time. So we'll get to document our experience. It'll be fun on gridirongals.com or Twitter, gridirongals, and you get to see, you know, how the auntie takeover went. But I think it'll be a good time. I'm going to pray that I don't get too much alcohol in my system too soon, because, you know, that could potentially be for me. And
yeah, and you know, I'll put you right on the Summer Dram screen drunk too. I'll show everybody how you act.
You know, it'll be fun. Like I said, if you guys are in Dallas, if anyone is in Dallas, or if you are a Michigan or a Gator fan and you have any information, let us know. We would love to come to your tailgate and eat your food and drink your drink and take all the videos and post them, because that's what we want to do. We just want to have a good time and enjoy D-Town. That's the plan.
Enjoy D-Town. That's what we're trying to do. So, you know, you just know what's going on.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this is our first podcast of the 2017 season. And, you know, thanks, guys, for sticking with us. We'll have a lot more to discuss next week, because training camp will be in full swing. We'll have a lot more stories to go to from there. And, you know, the NFL writes itself. The scripts write itself. Basically, we get a whole bunch of stuff. We had to decipher today. Like, what do we want to talk about? We already had stories that we had to cut out. So I'm just really excited. I'm not excited about my team. Obviously, everybody on that motherfucker is hurt. I'm just excited about football in general. But, yeah, my team, unless they sign Kaepernick, I'll be excited. But, yeah, for now, I'm just kind of like, well, and all my buckets went down. So, yeah. You know, here I am.
I just don't want nobody in my team to go to jail. That's all. I just don't want nobody to go to jail. We said we team.
I ain't even saying chase the ass to a bed. Shit, go sit down somewhere,
sir. No, I don't want nobody to go to bed. And you, I mean, yeah, I don't want nobody to go to jail. Like, y'all, everybody just stay in the house. Y'all get one big mansion and y'all live in there like a reality show. Just everybody just live together. Because, you know, people out there on the outside, they like to fool with you. And they know you ain't supposed to be doing but so much. They like to pick at you and stuff. Yep. So, you know, I hope, but, you know. Dak said he's going to look out for him. Dak DeBarge, that's my new nickname for him. Dak DeBarge, the light-skinned wonder. So hopefully Dak will look out for him, and he'll be fine. I mean, you know, if all else fails, his mom and dad will come down there. They'll be fine.
Good.
So that's it, right? That's it. That's all we got.
That's it.
All right, take care. So don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss who a worker bitch. I make bloody move.